Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Wednesday is always brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter. Jaguars Today live at Everbank today. Tony, we see the various folks involved with the Veterans Day Parade gearing up outside the stadium.
Yeah.
For the parade later on today. It should be coming up shortly, as a matter of fact.
I think it starts at 11,
yes.
Which is when it really should start, because that's the reason we're celebrating this thing on the 11th.
11-11-11.
Yeah, is the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month is when World War One officially ended in 1917.
Yep, Armistice Day is what it was known as for a long, long time, and I think it was back in the 50s that the United States changed it officially to Veterans Day, honoring all those who have served and continue to serve in the United States Armed Forces, unlike Memorial Day, which honors those who have given their life in service. We don't want you to give your life. Right? That's the point. We appreciate you risking it,
yep.
But we hope you get to keep it. All right. And thank you for the risk and the sacrifice and all that goes along with it. And today we'll talk plenty of Jaguar football today. Trust me, we've got some questions for you. Hopefully we'll get some feedback from. But the official Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day: in a town that is so full of a veteran presence, right? Not just the Navy that's here, but just every branch of the military. There are veterans in Jacksonville in great number and abundance, and we appreciate you guys and what you've done. And this is not, you know, I'm trying to be PC. If you don't, you know, there's many people out there that probably bristle at this kind of talk as embrace it. So whatever. I mean, to me, I appreciate what folks have done. We try to recognize that here from time to time when it's appropriate on the show. So what we'd like for you to do today, all we're asking you is to give us a little feedback about the veterans in your lives. I find it hard to believe there'd be many people out there without some veteran that has impacted them directly. And if you'd care to share their names with us, or who they are. You don't even have to give their names if you don't want to. If it's your uncle, your brother, your cousin, whatever the case may be, your sister, your mom, whoever it happens to be. And tell us why those veterans have made an impact in your life. Maybe they're family members, maybe they're friends, maybe they're people that have inspired you, maybe they're fellow veterans like yourself. Maybe you're a veteran and you've got some the people that you've come to look at his family over the years because they've gone through that shared experience with you. Whatever the case may be, we'll take a few minutes towards the end of the show and we will try to recognize as many of those folks by name as we can. And that's the whole point of it today. If you'd like to get in and talk football, we're certainly happy to do that with you as well today. In fact, kind of the theme we want to discuss is a little bit what Jeff led into today. What do the Jags need to do in the second half of the year for you? For your level of satisfaction, you know, is there a win total? Is there a level of play, of competition? It's different for different people. I know there are people out there right now that have already, in their mind, the ship has sailed on Gus Bradley and company. I don't think there's anything Gus can do for a certain contingent of the fan base. That's fine. And express that if you choose to. For some people, maybe they just want to be competitive and see exciting games and have the Jags have a chance to win and see that kind of sign of improvement. That's fine, too.
Sure.
And there's a whole wide spectrum in between as well. Is there a number for you? Does Gus Bradley need to win 4 of the final 8 games? Does he need to win 6 of the final 8 games or 2 or whatever that is for you personally to have? I don't know the right way to phrase it either. And Tony, I'm not trying to put words in people's mouths, but kind of a sense of acceptance with where the franchise is, and that would lead to you being okay, I guess, with maintaining the status quo. And again, like I said, I think there are people out there that want the status quo change regardless of how the second half of the season has gone, because they feel 2.5 years is enough to evaluate a head coach and a roster and all these things. And that's your prerogative as well. So share your thoughts with us on that today at 641-1010 on the phone lines and on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. What do the Jags need to do, either from a win-loss perspective or just a quality of play perspective or however you want to phrase it, to satisfy you over these final 8 games of the season beginning this Sunday in Baltimore against the Ravens. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. Happy Veterans Day, and a sincere thanks to all the men and women out there that have served and continue to serve to let us come on here and do something as frivolous as talk football with you every single day on the radio. We understand our place in the pecking order is very, very low on the importance scale. So thank you directly to those people who enable us to have a great American lifestyle. I still believe in the American dream. And I think Shad Khan is a great embodiment of the American dream. I've said it many times. I mean, that's as American dream as you get. Immigrant comes to this country, makes good, and, you know, just takes his vision and puts it into action. It's the land where dreams can come true, and I still believe that. And I'm sure there are people out there that feel that there's not an equal playing field for everybody. America's not perfect. There's no question about that. We should strive to make it better every day in whatever ways we can, just by being good people and good citizens. But no question, to me, in my eyes, we're still far and away the best option there is out there. So thanks again to all the vets out there, and we won't dwell on it too much, but if you want to share some feedback with us on that, either on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler, who are the veterans that have been important in your life, and why, if you care to share those thoughts with us here today, we'd love to hear them. We'll love to hear your thoughts on the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. We'll take our first time out. We'll come back, and we'll talk some Jaguar football with you. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Jaguars Today, live at EverBank for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, industrial, you name it. If it has plumbing issues, you call Metro Rooter, 695-1911, 695-1911, or visit MetroRooter.com, serving Jacksonville since 1978 and the surrounding areas. Trust me, they've been to my house a couple of times in St. Augustine when I've had issues, got some old plumbing down there. Metro Rooter gives me the peace of mind that the right people with the right equipment are on the job. How about this, Tony? Tyler just gets a call in from, I'm presuming now, closet Jaguar fan, and now by extension, friend of the program, Gallagher.
Uh-huh.
The comedian, Gallagher.
It was funny because Tyler was like, do you guys know this comedian Gallagher?
Right, we're like, Tyler, what are you, six? Everybody knows Gallagher. What are you talking about? And I said, Tyler, you don't know what Gallagher does? Nope. He smashes fruit, man. It's what that's what he's most known for. But he's been around forever, and this is a very nice gesture, I think. And you know what? Unless this is an exceptional meta-level troll job that's going on, which I don't think it is, Gallagher is performing in Valdosta, Georgia, next Thursday, November 19th, at the Mathis Auditorium. It's a 1,000-seat venue. And he was listening to the program and heard us talking about Veterans Day. And I guess he's in town. Maybe he's performing this weekend, for all I know, here in town. But I don't see that on his tour schedule, but nonetheless, he said any veteran who makes a drive to Valdosta and, you know, has military ID as proof, veteran, current military or, you know, past service veteran, and shows up at the show, they get free admittance to the show.
That's
as
cool.
Many as they can fit in until they fill the place up. There's 1,000 folks there. You can still go. You still call the box office and get tickets if you want to go and just sit, particularly in the splash zone. That's the thing. If you're going to go to a Gallagher show, you want to get covered in watermelon and cantaloupe and all these things, right? I mean, that's kind of point of going there, right? But I thought that was very, very cool and very nice gesture. And we now will consider Gallagher a friend of Jaguars Today.
And so, if you are not a veteran, the website is GallagherSmash.com.
There you go. That's got all the details on his tour schedule, and he is performing next week with Artie Fletcher at the Mathis Auditorium in Valdosta. That's next Thursday, the 19th. So if you're a vet, show on up, and the show's on Gallagher. How about that? That was a pretty nice thing to do. So thank you, Gallagher. How about that? We should get him on one day and ask him how that whole thing start. Right? This one day, was it by accident? Did you just send someone to laugh? And you're like, oh, wait a minute. I might have something here. But he's been doing it for a long, long time. All right, today, if you'd like to get in and talk about your Jags second half of the season, what's going to satisfy you? I think there's some out there that are beyond the point of satisfaction, Tony. And that's fine if you are. They are also the ones who, at least some of them, if you do not agree with their level of vitriol, then you are a company man, and you're all in and bought and paid for by the team.
Yeah.
Get that quite a bit.
Yep.
And so be it. And there are other people on the other end of the spectrum that I truly believe there are some that are such dyed-in-the-wool true believers that it doesn't matter what the win total is. It could be zero as long as they are competing and trying their best. And look, you may say, that's insane. That's how they feel, okay? There's a wide spectrum of beliefs. Just look last night. You had one political party with eight different people on the stage that span the spectrum of opinions on issues, you know, and that's in one party. Imagine the same thing with a fan base. You got all kinds of people that have all kinds of level with satisfaction and all kinds of degrees in between. So what will it take in the second half of the season to satisfy you? To me, I don't think it's their job to satisfy me. You know what I mean? But to me, looking at the team, I would say I'm going to feel like they haven't taken advantage of their opportunity if they don't win a minimum of four games over the final eight. And that may seem ludicrous to some people. How do you expect them to win? I'm not saying I expect them to. I'm saying maybe this is semantics. It's what I think they're more than capable of doing based on the level of competition that they're going to play. We got to get her past the it's just good enough to compete. I'm not saying it's good enough to compete. It's better than not competing. You know, and that's the thing. When you mention, well, they are showing improvement. Oh, the people on one end go, oh, no, they're not. They're 2-6. But they are in certain areas. And if you don't want to recognize that, that's your prerogative. And there are other people on the other end that when you say, yeah, but they still need to win more games, but they are showing improvement. How can you not see that? So, again, you're not going to make everybody happy, but we want to know for you individually what it will take to satisfy you. What do you think is a reasonable expectation for this team in the second half of the year?
It's tough to determine exactly what that's going to look like. I can tell you from my perspective as someone who covers this team on a daily basis, usually by the time I get to mid-November, I'm about done. You know, with football season in general, like I'm just ready for the whole thing to be over. Let's get to January and start looking ahead to our Super Bowl trip at the beginning of February, and then all the draft talk, the endless months of draft talk that we're going to have after that. And it's usually about this time of year where I start feeling that. I can tell you I'm not feeling that this year. And I don't know. It's not because the team is that much better in the win-loss record, right? I mean, they're 2-6 at this point in the season. I honestly think it's because every week when I'm getting ready for Jaguars games this year compared to the last two, it's like, yeah, they can win this one. It's not that I expect them to win all of them, but every week, instead of it being, hey, let's hope they don't get beat by 17 this week, right? Let's hope they're competitive in the fourth quarter. I have a pretty reasonable expectation that for the next 8 weeks, the Jags are going to be in these games in the fourth quarter of these contests. I have the expectation that that's the way it's going to work out for this team because I've seen it that way for 7 of the 8 games for the first half of the season. The question becomes, you mentioned the interview that you had with Dave Caldwell last year in London, and the idea that you're just trying to put a roster together year one, you're going to be more competitive year two. Year three is when you should start winning your share of close games. 2 out of 7. They've won 2 out of 7 close games.
Your
so what
too
is
small.
What is your share? Right? In the mind of Dave Caldwell, of Shad Khan, what is our share of close games?
Because me, it's 50-50. If it's a close game, they can go either way. Shouldn't it be half?
I don't know.
At least?
I don't know. Well, it's 2 out of 7, so if it's going to be half, and you'd assume that they're going to win 6. If it's going to be half, because I think it's going to be 14-15.
Right, but
games.
I look at it like you can't do anything about what's come before at this point in time.
No, I would expect... I mean, I expected them to win 6 games before the season. I think they've been good enough, competitive enough through the first half of the season that I still think that's a reasonable expectation on this team. I really do.
Important update here. Very important update. The straight over both of our heads, all 3 of our heads update right here. Next Thursday's date in Valdosta goes directly against Thursday Night Football. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. There's a joke in there somewhere that I'm not going to go for. It's low-hanging fruit about a comedy show already taking place. But like I said, I'm going to try to avoid going there even though I just stepped right in it. Yeah, you might not get as many people from Jacksonville next Thursday making the trip to Valdosta, or you might. Either way, it was a nice gesture by Gallagher. Just went right over our heads. None of us thought of it. We're like, oh, yeah, Thursday Night Football here in Jacksonville. That's probably going to put a damper on the plans to drive to Valdosta. But nevertheless, pretty cool thing.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give you that quick update. Thank you to Dirty Brown on Twitter for reminding us that, which probably should have been right off the top of our head. All right, let's get to a couple of calls here. Let's go with Blaze out at the beaches. Going to start us off today at 641-1010. What's up, Blaze?
How's it going? I just want to give a shout-out to my grandma. Happy Veterans Day, Grandma. She's from the Air Force.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Long time caller, first time listener. I just want to say, Jags, love them, but they need to go back to fundamentals and, like my coach said, it's four quarters in a football game. You gotta finish them all. They've lost.
How many wins is it gonna take to satisfy you in the second half of the year?
We're still in the hunt as far as our division goes, really, if you look at it.
I understand that.
The division is terrible. I mean, at least two or three. At least when I go to the Thursday night game, I want to win. How about that?
Let's start there.
I'll be happy with that. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thank you, buddy. I think you got the listener-caller thing reversed there. It happens quite a bit, actually. Long-time caller, first-time listener. I hope that's not the case, but we appreciate you calling in, and happy Veterans Day to your grandma who's in the Air Force. Let's go to Andy in Pennsylvania next up calling in. That's a nice long-distance check-in. What's up, Andy? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What's going on?
Good. I just wanted to kind of give my perspective as a Pennsylvania fan. Obviously, I'm surrounded by about zero Jacksonville Jaguar fans in my area. And I kind of just listened. This is like first time I really tried to call. And I hear all these fans complaining. Like, your job's tough, Mike. But my perspective is to see what we were last year, where every week I didn't even need to watch the game because I knew the result. And you're in these games till the fourth quarter. Like, I don't understand if our fans are just expecting. I would much rather be a Jacksonville Jaguars fan than a Patriots fan, where I don't have to watch the game because I just know they're going to get handed a win, kind of that perspective. But to say, you know, we're going to get rid of Blake and get rid of Gus, I just think that's unfair, and we need to
let's be fair. I haven't heard anybody suggest, any sane person suggest they get rid of Blake Bortles.
Not yet, no.
No. I mean, look, is there some reasonable criticism that he needs to cut down on his big turnovers, especially, you know, the pick sixes and the ill-timed ones, but I haven't heard anybody reasonably make a case to try to get rid of Blake Bortles. I think most people agree, at least from my vantage point, that even if they're dissatisfied with the overall product, they realize that this guy is a big reason that they have hope going forward, Andy. At least that's the way I see it. Regardless. Yeah, go ahead. Finish your point.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was kind of quoting that lady that was raging out on Monday about Blake and, like, screaming.
Yeah, it happens, man. I mean, there are people that, look, you could be upset with his play, and you can certainly critique him. And we've talked about this week, Tony. It's an odd dynamic because on the one hand, he's a big part of the reason why you have the chance to win these football games. But on the other hand,
yeah,
it's a big part of the reasons why you're not winning these football games, right? So, you know, without him, what's the alternative? We've seen the alternative. We've seen a lot of bad quarterback play in the National Football League with this franchise, with other franchises. It is tough to find a guy with promise. This guy's oozing promise. To me, it's a silly, laughable argument. If anyone would seriously bring it up to me that they need to move on from Blake Bortles, I get the day after frustration of, oh man, he needs to not, he's costing us games. Yeah, he may be. But he's also the best hope you have for the future.
Yeah, look, I am the leader of the pack when it comes to the NFL offseason and how dumb I think the conversation gets about the NFL at times, because it's all about whoever the quarterback is and the expectations for the quarterback of that team, and that's how it's going to rise and fall. But you're watching it. I mean, Jacksonville, you're watching it. You're watching a guy who is clearly a lot better than he was last year. He's good enough that in the second halves of these games, you are being given opportunities to potentially win these football games. He's also the same guy that is still making enough mistakes that you don't have enough on your team to overcome Blake Bortles getting in his own way and getting in his team's way of getting to those victories right now. He's either going to win the game or you're going to lose. That's just where they're at in the development of this team and this roster at this point in time.
All right, we got to take a timeout. Thank you for the calls. We got more on the line. We'll get to you coming up here shortly. Also, we got John Osier stopping in, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. He'll join us next as it is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. What will satisfy you in the second half of the year for your Jacksonville Jaguars? Happy Veterans Day to all you veterans out there. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, live at EverBank. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, we continue along a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Also, Veterans Day here, November 11th, as the Veterans Day Parade in downtown Jacksonville gets underway in a little under 20 minutes. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here with you. We welcome in John Osier, the Ozone, Onos. He's got a lot of nicknames. Some of them we cannot say on the air. At least we don't say them even in front of John. Once he leaves the
studio.
You just
see my nicknames on Twitter.
Oh, you think you've got nicknames?
All of us.
You're nice. Okay, you're a generally nice person.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's people that, you know, look, you're in the spotlight to some degree. You're going to have your detractors. I'm not nice.
But you have your detractors now.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. If you think you've got some, buddy, come hang out in my timeline for a little while. Today, we went kind of off topic with Veterans Day. And is there a particular veteran or veterans that are, you know, did you come from a family with a military background, or are there people influential in your life that you can think of that stand out to you?
I don't really, to be honest. So I've... my father passed a couple of years, didn't serve. My grand, just haven't. So I very much respect the people who have and do.
Hey, not everyone does.
Yeah, and some friends of mine have, obviously, through the years. I've known people, and it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, so. I got much more of a connection to it through my in-laws than I ever did through my own family. My uncle, who was my mom's
brother. And I do as well, right.
Yeah, who was like my closest male relative outside the immediate family, was in the Army back in the 1950s. And, so that was kind of a cool thing growing up. I recognize that. And I told Tony this story before. My cousin Willie, he was a piece of work, man. He, when I was a kid, I was like, I don't know, six or something like that. And cousin Willie tells me, you can be anything in life. America's the greatest country in the world. You can grow up to be president of the United States, to be a truck driver, be whatever you want, after you've given your 7 years of service to the United States military. And honestly, for several
years...
You
bought it?
I was terrified. I was like... And he, I don't know if he was kidding. I don't think he was kidding, because he had served in the military, and... I just think it was like a thing that, like, well, I did it, and this is what you do. And I thought this was like, why are my parents not telling me this? Right. And for a few years, it took me, you know, you kind of overhear conversations. Maybe this is not true. But in the back of my mind, Willie terrified me as a child, because I didn't know if I wanted
Willie
to go
jacked
in the
military. You up.
Willie did his thing.
That kind of Starship Troopers thing. You got to be a citizen.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. John, what do you think? What for you? Hey, we're in a different position, okay? I'm a season ticket holder, but, you know, I do it because I feel like that's a small gesture to give back to a franchise that has given me so much in my life, right? So I'm not the kind of season ticket holder that says, I pay my ticket, I want to make, these are my expectations and demands. And I think it's fair for season ticket holders to have those expectations, or Jaguar fans to have expectations, whether season ticket holders or not. What do you think is a reasonable level of expectation for the second half that would make – you can't make everybody happy.
Yeah.
But would make most people happy with their performance.
Yeah, you know, I hate to even say it, because it's so much a case where everybody's got their own level of expectation. And it's been interesting since the Jets game. I was telling my wife last night, we were talking about it. It is as divided as I've seen it since Gus Bradley got here, meaning there are fans who absolutely think it is ridiculous they lost to the Jets. You have to fire everybody. It is bad. It is terrible. And yet I've gotten more positive emails, more people saying, I see it. I get it. I see where it's going. So it's very much split down the middle. I think the people who like what they see want to see competitiveness, want to see three or four wins, want to see two or three wins, want to see them do what they did the other day, where you see, oh, I see that Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Blake Boyd, I see these number of guys that I can envision getting better. I think there are people who see that and think that this year is working towards something. I also think there's people who've given up on Gus Bradley and think it'll never get better as long as he's here.
Right. And no matter, and I don't think that'll change for some, no matter what they do in the second half.
Even if they win the division at 7-9, I think those people would still say, as a fluke. So, you know, I'll go down the middle. I think three or four wins to get to, what would that be, 5 or 6, you know, would not be, I can't sit here and say it's good because it's not winning. But I think that would show the people who still believe that they're right to believe. I don't think you can save the, not save, I don't think you can change people's mind who've already made up their mind.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. There are people whose ship has sailed, and there are other people on the other end that I don't think the win total matters to them. And
right.
The Jags would probably love to have a lot more of those kind of patient types, but, you know.
But the people who made the decision to go this way knew there was going to be a point like this where the patience had run out, and yet you have to go through that to get where they want to go. So
I can't believe they thought it would be this difficult, though. I don't think.
No,
because
I think this year they thought, you know, 3 or 4 wins at this point.
And that's the thing. If they win 2 of these other close games that they've lost,
right,
which you haven't. So I'm not going to say, it's this close, because you could say, well, they're this close to being 0-8 as well. So that's fair. It is what it is. It's 2-6. But had they been able to pick up just 2 more,
no doubt,
right? And you're sitting there at 4-4, and you're like, whoa, all right, you know what? First half of the season, now the schedule opens up. Now the Colts lose their quarterback for a long time.
I don't believe they
thought
this would be 2-6. I do believe that they thought this year, it sounds so stupid, if you take the final out of it and say that have they played 7 games where they had a legitimate chance to win, I think they thought the first half of the season would be a bunch of those kind of games. I think they thought that more of them would go their way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, not everyone is going to be on the same page on all that. And I'm with you, though. And even by bringing this up, there's a contingent. And I is my own issue. I try to.
One of many.
Well, it is one of many. But I honestly try to just give the way I see it on the air.
Right. Right?
And so it bothers me, and I shouldn't let it, but it does, when people think that your opinion is being co-opted by the fact that we do a show in this building, or the fact that the word Jaguars is on the show, or the fact that we're the official station of the
right.
Jaguars. But all I can do is give you honest reflection. A couple weeks ago, I was into it pretty heavily with Jeff Logman, trying to put forth the point of view from all the people I was hearing from that were on the brink, that really were looking for a coaching change mid-season, like, this is it, mm-hmm. we got to scrap it. And I respect that groundswell of opinion that was out there. But since then, I don't know if it's just the win in Buffalo. I don't know if it's Shad Khan coming out and giving a kind of a vote of confidence.
I hear you, yeah.
But I'm seeing more of the other now. We asked the glass half full, half empty question this week.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly, we got the half full compared to the half empty.
That was my point. And it may be that people are tired of emailing me and just saying, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. Sometimes
that may be.
Maybe they've run out. But even in the immediate aftermath of the game, you always get the third quarter, fourth quarter, hour after the game, who say everybody's got to go. Since then, I'm telling you, there's been far more people who say, okay, this, I hate 2-6. I hate that we can't win games yet, but I do see where the improvement is. I look at the stats and see 16th and 18th in total offense and total defense, which they haven't been close to a combination number like that since I've been, you know, I got back in 2011. They haven't been close to that. So I think there are people who see that. And then there's also that other, you know, huge matzo ball hanging out there, they said in Seinfeld, of why can't you close games?
Right.
And I believe it's because you're having trouble getting home in the pass rush, you're not creating turnovers, and you're young on offense. I think those three things, as much explosion as you're seeing on offense, the final growing pains, the final things to be smoothed out, the Bortles fumble interception are hurting them at the key moments. But I think the lack of turnovers is what's causing them to not be able to be far enough ahead to be closing games. That's why they're playing on such a thin line.
Do you like their chance? I mean, I think they have a chance, but they've had a chance in tons of games this year. Do you like their chances to win this game this weekend against Baltimore without getting too deep into
sure.
the X's and
O's? I think if this was, you know, if this was a home game, I'd say what I said before the Texans game, which I think it's a game they should win. Going on the road, this team, I don't know if I can call a team that's lost 13 in a row on the road and say they should win.
Right.
But I think it's a matchup they can win. Clearly, the Ravens, with their wide receivers, need to run to win, you would think. And this is a team, I think the Jaguars, except for Tampa, have shown that they can stop the run. The other opponents have not dictated games except for Tampa by running the ball. And the Ravens' defense hasn't created very many turnovers, and this team can move the ball.
At some point, they need to obviously string together wins on the sure. road, not just an occasional one. Because
no, I thought last week was big for that reason. I thought at some points you need to go win a game on the road that is against a good team. That's why last week's was so interesting to watch them come back, because all of a sudden you're saying, okay, this bunch is getting to where it can do this, and so crushing when they didn't do it, because it's like, okay, that would have been the time. But yeah, you got to go win on the road at some point.
Well, for the foreseeable future, they're going to have these long stretches by yeah. NFL standards of playing away from Jacksonville. Even though it's technically a home game in London, it's a long road trip to take, and then, you know, you've got extended stretches with the Florida-Georgia game and all the different things that factor into it.
It feels like, I was thinking about it this week, it feels like forever since you played a game in Everbank.
Right.
And that's just the reality of it. It's the way it has to be for this franchise right now, but that's the reality of it, so you've got to get used to it.
All right, Johnny O, what do you have coming up today? You got Jaguars.com Live.
Jaguars.com Live, and Jonathan Cyprian will be joining J.P. Shadrick, so that'll be a good... You know, he's starting to come on, starting to play well, and good kid. So.
Consistency is what he's got to find, because he's had some of his best games over the last month, I think, that he's had in a Jaguar
yeah.
uniform. But he's got to – he can't dip down
no.
next week, right? So
no
he's
doubt.
Got to stay at that level.
But if he's coming on, then all of a sudden you got a couple of guys in the secondary, you know, back to what you said on Monday, about all of a sudden finding a few guys – they need a core on defense still.
Be careful you're not trying to sell tickets here for next year.
Well, right? You know, I've got my tickets. So, but all of a sudden, you've got a few guys that maybe if you put some explosion around them, meaning Dante Fowler, can be part of this thing going forward. So he's a guy to watch these last eight games.
All right, he is John Osier. He's a guy to read and listen to just about on a daily basis, probably on a daily basis with the reading. I don't know, listen to him three times a week, probably max for me.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, November 11th, 1990, Kansas City linebacker Derek Thomas did what, Tony? What NFL record did he set?
Sacks in a game?
Yes.
Nine, I think it
Seven.
Was. Seven.
Seven. Nine. Wow, that would be a lot. Seven is an incredible amount of sacks. He had seven sacks in the game, but somehow Dave Craig escaped his grasp late to throw a 25-yard game-winning touchdown pass in the final seconds as the Seahawks knocked off the Chiefs 17-16. See, quarterback play over pass rush, Tony, apparently. There, Dave Craig, after getting beat up all game long, still pulled out the victory. Famous birthdays for this date include 1967, happy 48th, to former Jaguar offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave, born on this date. Also a quarterback's coach at a period of time for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He's getting it done in Oakland right now.
He is getting it done in Oakland right now. He's been with a lot of teams around the National Football League. Happy birthday to Victor Cruz. I don't know if he's salsa dancing. I don't know if he's healthy enough to dance right now.
Nobody does.
We're going to see him on the football field this year? I'm not sure at this point in time.
It's really unclear. They keep saying that they expect him back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
But then the next week comes, it's another 2 weeks.
Right. The knee is fine. Apparently, then it was the calf. And
yeah.
It's all these compensatory injuries, it sounds like,
yep.
he's been having. Also, born on this day, Tony, I know this will make you happy. I say butt, you say?
Kiss.
Fumble. I thought you'd go with fumble, not kiss. That's a good one, too. Dick Butkus was not born on this date, but Mark Sanchez was also 29 years young today, along with Victor Cruz. And, oh, former Jaguar, what could have been? 1991. Ace is the place. Ace Sanders, born on this date in football history, born on this date, period, November 11th. Happy Veterans Day to all you veterans out there. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway if you need cosmetic work done, or you're just in the market for a family dentist. Call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225. They've got the SomnaMed StoreGuard, a certified Invisalign provider, and they offer 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck is out with an injury. Luck had reportedly been dealing with a rib injury of some sort going into their game against Denver this weekend. He suffered a lacerated kidney on a hit during the game. Luck is expected to miss the next 2 to 6 weeks with that kidney injury. That's at least the report. Ed Warder is also saying that they expect it to be at least a month before they get him back. You would think they'd want to be really careful with their franchise quarterback before putting him on the field, especially considering that Keenan Allen is out for the season for San Diego with a very similar type of injury. They're not playing around with Keenan Allen. I don't know why you'd play around with a guy like Andrew Luck, who is really your franchise's future. The St. Louis Rams have signed free agent wide receiver Wes Welker. Welker has had at least 6 reported concussions in his career. He was cleared by a concussion specialist months ago to return to the field and play football again. Of course, just getting signed, though, earlier this week. He practiced for the first time yesterday with the St. Louis Rams and said he felt good after that first practice. We'll see what it looks like with Wes Welker on the field there in St. Louis.
This may come as a surprise to you, Tony. I have not performed any kind of surgeries on the spleen, okay? But I do remember hearing earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, I guess. Yeah, it would have been last week, in regards to Keenan Allen, that they thought it could be a relatively short-term injury. My guess is the significance of the injury and the fact that it's your kidneys and this is not a broken bone or something like that, and the fact combined that the Chargers were 2-6 at the time, probably, you know, the division was long gone.
Yeah.
Right? That probably accelerated his trip to the injured reserve, where I guess they feel like with Andrew Luck, as long as we don't put him out there before he's ready, why not keep him around? If somehow Matt Hasselbeck can keep this team afloat and get us to the postseason and Luck would get healthy, let's say even if it took 2 months, well, it'd be worth hanging on to see if we could get him back. Don't know if it's going to play out that way, but I can at least understand why they would try everything in their power to keep Andrew Luck available to return in 2015.
If only everyone else had done their job. If Myers had made the kick, if Denver goes in there undefeated as a road favorite and just beats Indianapolis, and they're sitting there at 2-7, you know, and they're like, let's put him on the shelf for the rest of the year, and then the path would be pretty clear for the rest of the AFC South. But they are what they are, 4-5, leading the division, and it makes sense that they're going to wait and see with a guy like Andrew Luck, who could potentially be back for a run, say, late December into the playoffs for that franchise.
All right, of course, they'll be watching the Jags win the Miracle Division at 5-11. First team ever at 5-11, Tony, to win a division. I don't care, honestly, what the record is. I think if they were to do that, so there's still, again, if they snuck in at like 6-10, 7-9, there's still going to be a contingent. Yeah, but I think the vast majority of Jaguar fans would be like, I don't really care what the record is. We're in the playoffs.
No.
We're hosting a playoff game.
Why
but
would you?
I do get that if you feel like a result is, it comes via smoke and mirrors. Like remember, was it 2005 when the Jags made the playoffs, right? And they had a ridiculously easy schedule.
They did.
Right? And Donovan Darius admitted to me in an interview the following spring. He's like, look, did you see the schedule we played? You know, where typically the mantra is, hey, it's the NFL, every team's good, da-da-da-da-da. And he said, look, we took advantage of a bad schedule. We absolutely did. And, you know, he had guaranteed them making the postseason that year, by the way. I remember that going back with Donovan 10 years now. Wow, time flies. But there are circumstances where even the players know, man, everything was set up quite nicely for us and we took advantage of it. Hey, that's the key. Are you going to take advantage of it? I think that's one of the big things, going forward. Let's get to, the phone, 641-1010, if you want to weigh in. What's going to satisfy you in the second half of the year for your Jacksonville Jaguars? Let's get Desmond up on board here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Desmond.
All right, fellas. How y'all been?
What's up?
I'm kind of biased. I was one of the hypocrites about getting rid of Gus Bradley. But coming to the Jets game, it's not Gus' fault. It's the players, man. It seems like it's Jaguars versus Jaguars. I mean, you put the coaching players in good situations, but it's like we can't never capitalize. And then I also say that Allen Robinson, in the first half, I don't know if y'all noticed, but you know, I feel like Allen Robinson, he was real, like, lazy with route running in the first half, if you really look at it. And Blake Bortles, towards the end of the game, before he threw an interception, it was a good read, but he held the ball for too long because as I recorded the game on my DVR, Allen Hurns was wide open in the middle, but he just waited too late. And I think that's what messed him up, because he second-guessed himself and before he just go ahead and go with his first reaction. But I just take the comments off the air, though.
All right, a couple things, Desmond. Appreciate the call, as always. I don't think it makes you a hypocrite to change your opinion. You know, it'd be one thing if you're going da-da-da-da-da, and then something goes the other way, and you go, yeah, you know. Yeah, I don't think if your opinion evolves, and that for that matter, if it evolved the other way, if you felt like it was more of a player issue, but now you felt it was more of a Gus Bradley issue, I don't think that makes you a hypocrite either.
No.
I think that just means your opinion is evolving over time, and that's fine. I didn't get the sense Allen Robinson was not running routes as hard as he needed to be. He needs to do a better job of plucking the ball out of the air, Tony, and not letting it get into his body. And I think that's what that drop resulted from, as far as that goes. But, and the other point, look, you cannot throw late across the middle. That's the thing. Maybe he was open, Hearns, and maybe if Bortles sets his feet and can fire, he can get that ball into him. But you can't do it late. You can't do it across the middle late, and you can't do it with no mustard on the football. That combination is going to get you in a lot of trouble, and that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened. He should have thrown the ball out of bounds. If Hearns was open early on that play, then he should have thrown it when he was open, and you can't make that throw.
You got to fire it in there.
Right, you can't make that throw at that point. I mean, just throw it out of bounds. I get it. You're at your own 10-yard line. You got to go 90 yards with no timeouts. It's a shame that you lost that 5 or 6 seconds, but it's your only opportunity to win the game is if you still have the ball after first down. You have to still have the ball to have any kind of chance to win that game. Blake knows that, and really, I thought the more egregious mistake, again, was the fumble that he had earlier in the game, which was, again, a result of him maybe holding the ball too long. And Jeff Loggeman was in here yesterday and talked about a play where Julius Thomas broke open, and whether he didn't trust Thomas on the route to turn his head around, Blake didn't throw the ball. And Julius never turned around to look at it, but Blake didn't throw the ball. And I don't know if that's a trust factor or what that is between those two guys, but that's, you know, two or three examples in just the game on Sunday where, as good as Blake was, those are clear examples of him holding it too long and then bad things happening to the football team because he needs to trust what he's seeing or make the decision quicker to get out of the pocket and just get rid of it or run. I get that a lot of people just want him to be the guy who throws it downfield, don't run as much as he does. His running's been really effective for this football
team. Right, why wouldn't you? I don't understand that either.
And as long as he's continuing to do that, and by the way, throwing for 300 yards week in and week out, I'd say it's working, and maybe they need a little bit more of that than what they've seen to this point.
All right, we'll take a timeout here if you'd like to get on board. 641-1010 is the number. Also, we'll check in on the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line at that same number, 904-641-1010. Tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. A couple of things we're looking for today. One, and on or Veterans Day, you can tweet us or post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Had all kinds of issues with Facebook today. Not posting, wouldn't post our picture. If you want to just tell us what important veterans have been in your life, which are the ones that you look up to the most and why they've been significant in your life, we'd like to recognize some of them before the end of the show today. The Veterans Day Parade taking place outside right now, starting up and down Bay Street and all around the downtown area. So that's happening. And also, if you'd like to weigh in on what will satisfy you over the course of the final 8 games for the Jacksonville Jaguars, we're open for business on that as well. Live from Everbank on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, happy Veterans Day to all of you out there. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We'll hear a little audio from Blake Bortles on NFL Network with Andrew Siciliano coming up here in a moment. But let's get back to the phones quickly for the next couple of minutes. 641-1010 if you'd like to weigh in on the phone lines or the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Who do we have, Tyler? Is it Mario? Mark up next. I'm sorry. Mark, you're next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
It's Mario. So my expectations...
That's what I said. Hold on. Tyler. Tyler, were you dropped on your head as a child?
My sorry situation.
Honestly, Mario, that's what I just said. Did you not hear me ask Tyler, is it Mario? And this guy is the worst with names. It is unbelievable. All right, moving along.
I'm terrible with names.
All right, Mario, so what can we do for you?
For the Jags are very high all the time. I just cannot expect less from them. So I'm thinking with the rest of the schedule, there's only one team on there, the Atlanta Falcons, that I'm just kind of weary of. But I feel that it will be just a missed opportunity if we don't make 9-2 this year. I feel like it's possible for the Jacksonville Jaguars to beat all the remaining teams and end up with a 9-2 record this year. And it's been, you know, the theme of this year, just blown opportunities from all the previous games so far. So that's my expectations for the rest of the year. I'll take your comments off there.
Let me just quickly jump in if you're still there. When you say 9-2, I think you mean a 9-7 final record. But what if they don't? How are you going to feel if they win, let's say, 4 more games and they end up 6-10?
6-10, 4 more games. I mean, I'll take it right now. I honestly would take it. I mean, I'll take any wins that we can get, but I still...
I hear what you're saying. You're a true believer who still thinks that the competitiveness can turn into victories sooner rather than later.
Something's going to click. I just know it is, and I feel like it's going to happen sooner than we think. And
hey, I hope you're right,
man.
I
feel like they can walk away with 9 wins, and I feel like it's just to be another missed opportunity because there's no – I mean, do you see any team on the record right now that you feel like –
There's no team on their schedule that they cannot beat. I mean, there's no New England. New England was pretty much a game that you would have had to pitch a perfect game, and New England would have to help you out along the way to win that game. There's no – but that's been the case, Tony, the whole season. Mario, thank you for the call. Right, they went 2-5 in those such games.
Yeah.
So – Mario, thanks, man. We'll hopefully our guy there, Tyler O, will
he said Mario twice in our ears. Like, it's even worse than that, guys.
Thank you.
Because he said Mario twice in our ears.
But didn't I ask him that? Do we have Mario?
Is it Mario? And he said, no, it's Mark.
Right.
Oh, no. I don't know about that. I'll disagree. I don't think I said Mark. But
no, you said Mark.
That's why I called him Mark. Are you kidding me? it's not just me. It's not just me.
No.
Moving along. Is this David?
Well, I do have two people in the room with me, and they both said they heard Mario, so I don't know. Maybe you guys didn't get your hearing checked.
You said Mark.
You said Mark. Right.
The third time you said Mark.
Have we had issues with callers' names before?
Maybe like 4 or 5 times? I don't know.
Maybe, right, that I know of. Maybe sometimes they've been too polite to bring
up. Hey, Luigi,
right.
Call back anytime you want.
All right, moving along. David, you're up. Oh, no, I'm sorry. David fell off. All right. Who do we have here? Is it Man? I don't even know. Who's next, Tyler?
I checked this one. This is Mandel in Pittsburgh. He's a Jags fan in Pittsburgh. Mandel.
All right, Jags fan in Pittsburgh. Mandel, if that's your real name. Welcome to Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing all right. I'm just calling in. I mean, I'm a Jaguars fan. I've been a Jaguars fan since 99. So,
how did you become a Jaguar? Did you live in Pittsburgh at the time, or did you live here and move?
Oh, I've been in Pittsburgh all my life, man.
Jag fan in Pittsburgh? I'm interested to know.
Well, I mean, it was a new team at the time when they came into the league in 96. And I always followed them and always liked them. And at the time, the 98 season, going into 99, they always gave Pittsburgh, you know, issue at that time. And I'm always surrounded around Steelers fans, and people get on me all the time. How do you like the Jaguars? I'm like, man, I've always been a fan, and I'm going to always learn for Ed Sanders, Jimmy Smith, Keenan McCordo.
There you go. And remind them that the Jags are the only team to win as a visiting team in Pittsburgh twice in the same season. So,
absolutely.
All right, what can we do for you this morning?
Not a problem. I'm just calling it just to, you know, I'm confident. I think the Jaguars can win out. I think just looking at the schedule going into, you know, the season, going into, you know, the last games of the season, I think they're moving in the right direction. I mean, I think fans has got to just pump their brakes a little bit and just, you know, just give it a chance, man. I think Blake Bortles, he's moving in the right direction. I mean, he got two good, solid receivers. I believe in this team. I think they're going to be just fine. I mean, obviously, they got to learn how to win the close games because that's really all it's been. They just got to learn how to win. And I'm just taking it off the air, man. I'm just confident in them.
All right, keep flying that teal flag up there in Pittsburgh, man, and doing God's work up there in the Steel City. Thank you, Mandel. We appreciate that, if that is actually your name. Still not 100% convinced, not because of you, for obvious other reasons. But, Tony, look, you know, can they win a bunch of games? Here's to me, this would be the most gut-wrenching scenario. If they win just enough to come up just short in a really bad division,
mm-hmm.
because then you look back and you could point to any one of a number of you know, anything that could have gone the other way where they could have made more plays, they could have made better coaching decisions, they could have done any number of things differently, just made a field goal here or there. And because, look, I don't think necessarily Indy's going to be down forever, although you start to look towards the future in this division. We don't know how good Tennessee's going to be. Mariota looks pretty good right now. Houston doesn't have a quarterback, and I don't know if – I think we're going to find out a lot about what Indy actually has around Andrew Luck over the next 5 or 6 weeks. And yep, it's one thing to win a couple of games with a backup quarterback. Even Tim Hasselbeck, his brother, Matt Hasselbeck's brother, was saying yesterday, look, it's one thing to, you know, to go out there for a week or two at a time. It's another to ask a guy to go play for 6 weeks or 2 months.
You expected it, he expected to be out there probably for the one game against Jacksonville.
Right.
And it was, okay, I got to go again on
Thursday.
Turned
into two.
Yeah.
Right.
And, by the way, that was against Jacksonville and Houston. They don't get to play the division every week, which is obviously terrible. The AFC South is terrible. No, I think you're going outside of that now. You're playing Atlanta and Tampa and these other teams from outside the AFC South, and we'll see how they fare against that kind of competition when they know Matt Hasselbeck's the guy. I think it's a huge difference for them.
All right, Tyler, let's fire up a cut here from Blake Bortles. This is him on the NFL Network, I guess, with Andrew Siciliano. I haven't heard it, so let's listen into what Blake had to say.
Receivers. All right, let's talk about your wide receivers here. Hearns and Robinson, the first duo, I don't know if you know this, with 600-plus yards and 6 touchdowns each in a team's first 8 games since, any idea?
Ever.
Randy Moss and Wes Welker with the Patriots that amazing 07 year.
Yeah, they've definitely been unbelievable. You know, that's a pretty cool stat line and definitely really good company to, you know, be involved with. So I think those guys, two really hard workers, two really good football players. You know, they make my job and my life a lot easier, and it's been cool to come in with those guys as rookies and really watch them grow over the past year and a half.
In November, a lot of people grow mustaches for November. How long would it take you to get a shot on mustache?
Well, I'm working on it right now, if you can't tell. I got the beard going, so I'm trying to, Chad Henne actually just shaved his in the handlebars and dyed it, you know, just for mended. So his looks pretty good, so I gotta compete with that. So I think by Thanksgiving, mine will probably be in full effect.
Alright, that's awesome. I think you should go for it, you should tweet it, you should make it a thing. I think everyone in your huddle should do it as well.
Duval. All right, thank you, Andrew Siciliano, for those probing questions. Blake had no idea who had done that. And I didn't, off the top of my head, I didn't know who that.
No.
Pulled that combo either. But it does go to show you, we get press releases on the Jags every week, game notes on their upcoming opponents and things like that. And there have been so many of those statistical markers, Tony, in terms of, a quarterback and two wide receivers under a certain age performing to certain statistical measures.
Sure.
What they've done is truly rare as a trio at their age in NFL history. Now, granted, the NFL has evolved into a landscape where it's much easier to have big passing numbers regardless of your age. So it's to say that, well, this hasn't happened in the 100 years or whatever of NFL history. Well, you wouldn't expect it to have happened for most of the history of the National Football League. But in today's environment where the passing game rules have been wide open for quite a while now, it's still pretty impressive that they've got a trio as young as they are putting up at least the statistical numbers. Be more impressive if they were 6-2 doing it, but nonetheless, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater on that.
Yeah, but that wasn't an age statistic. That was Randy Moss and Wes Welker, and this is a league where Tom Brady's still in this league. Peyton Manning's been really good. Aaron Rodgers has been really good. They haven't been able to get wide receivers with that kind of combination since that time either. So I think the numbers are huge, and it's such a pleasant thing to be watching a Jaguars game, and when Allen Hurns catches another touchdown pass, you're like, six, that's got to be like a franchise record, right? For games in a row where you catch a touchdown as opposed to, oh, 100-yard receiver. When's the last time they did that? Like, because those were the questions we were asking last year. It's like, when's the last time they had a 100-yard receiver in a football game? Was that Torrey Holt? Was the last guy to do it? Something like that. And instead this year we're asking, is he setting a franchise record for most consecutive games with a touchdown? And those are the kind of numbers these guys are going after in 2015.
All right, I'm with you on that. Tim on the South Side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was just calling just want to know, why the Jaguars won't use the talent that they have? They got guys like Nick Marshall, Denard Robinson, who are former quarterbacks. And if we're trying to put up points for the team to win, I think they should start using those guys in some kind of offensive set, because when defenses are going through their week of practices, they're pretty much trying to set up to defend, you know, I guess they're most of their offensive weapons. But if they put those guys in, you know, as a Sunday thing, and they don't see it on tape, that could possibly help them win. And right now they're in a situation where they have to win now, man. And
Let me ask you, what offensive role would you see for Nick Marshall?
Well, you got to look, he's been a quarterback for 2 years.
Right, you're not going to play him at quarterback.
But I mean, even as a running back, you got to think in Gus Malzahn's offense, in situations, you know, he kept the ball off his read option. He kept it. And he didn't just run outside, he ran in between the tackles.
Big difference running a read option as a quarterback in college and playing NFL running back. Denard Robinson took him a couple of years to transition to where he's been a decent running back in the National Football League. Could you argue Denard needs a few more touches? Certainly you could. I don't think Nick Marshall needs to worry about catching a punt right now. Never mind asking him to learn a new position on offense. He wasn't drafted to be an offensive player. I don't care what he played in college, Tony. You've got a running back that you spent a second round pick on who's been pretty good. By the way, two of his last four, he's gone over 100 yards this year. I don't want you taking the ball out of his hands. I certainly don't want these other guys throwing the football in place of Blake Bortles. Who do you want the ball going to? Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas, or Nick Marshall on offense? To me, it's an easy decision. They're putting up good offensive numbers. They're not putting up enough to win games, but they're putting up based on where they were a year ago. They're scoring about 6 points more per game right now. So they've taken a leap in that direction statistically. We just were talking about, you know, the progress of the passing game and where that's been. And you're seeing Mercedes Lewis on the field a lot right now because, quite frankly, the offensive line has been having some issues. And, you know, and I'm not saying he's the perfect solution to it, but they have him in there rather than putting Nick Marshall on the field. They feel like having that quote unquote sixth offensive lineman more often than not is probably the most beneficial thing. I don't want to get too caught up into the college exploits of a couple of former quarterbacks. I think Denard Robinson has a role on offense, but it's tough when the running game's only getting 15 or so carries to carve out a role for him when you feel like T.J. Yeldon is your best alternative.
Look, I think you got guys, obviously, a Denard Robinson where could you do some tricky things? Sure. And would every now and then, you know, maybe a wrinkle in a game where you do something creative with a guy like that? Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue with that, but the idea of, you know, trying to make a package or something like that for Nick Marshall and Denard Robinson, I think, is a little absurd.
You got two guys who are budding stars at wide receiver right now.
And again, I don't mind if you come up with some kind of trick play where it's Blake Bortles and Denard Robinson on the field and Denard's throwing the ball once, right? Where you're trying to trick a defense.
Right, having an occasional trick
play. Where you're trying to trick somebody at some point in the game, but I don't know how much of that you need as effective as Blake Bortles has been as a passer.
I'm with you. I don't want this. If this were a team that didn't have developing playmakers and you're looking for a spark, oh, sure, that's a different story. They just threw for 380 yards with two receivers going over 120 for the first time in franchise history. They're moving the ball offensively.
Against Revis and Cromartie.
Right. And so I'm not looking to take any more opportunities away from those guys right now. And, oh, by the way, Brian Walters is filling in a very nice role himself. You want to take him off the field for these guys? I mean, he's producing, right? So, no, I'm not seeing eye to eye with that one. But, Tim, we appreciate the call nonetheless. Happy Veterans Day to all of you out there. It's Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars Today. We'll come back with your weekly injury report and also read some of your feedback today as we asked you who are some of the important veterans in your life and what have they meant to you and your development. We'll get to some of that coming up here shortly. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, coming up momentarily, we will chat with Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. This week's injury report will focus on Allen Hurns and one of those dreaded other players in the National Football League who happens to play in the AFC South. But first, it's been a while since we talked to IBM, International Black Man number 2, to be precise, checking in here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, IBM. How are you?
Hey, man, how you doing?
We're good.
Give a shout out to the military and my three brothers, John, Alvin, and Isaiah. Did a lot of years in the military and supported our country and all the other good stuff. And shout out to my boys that's still in there. I still feel close to those guys and everything. And when I see a uniform, I try to do my best to break my neck year-round to get to them and shake their hand and thank them for their representation.
Are you a veteran yourself, IBM?
Yes, 14 years.
Well, thank you as well, buddy.
You're welcome. Thank y'all. And I'm listening to the show all the time because I haven't been calling. Yeah, because I've been so emotional about my Jaguars.
I understand, brother.
I'm listening, and I love them. I'm a season ticket holder since 97, since I came home in 96.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for the service. Thanks for the support. And hang in there, all right?
All right, partner.
There we go. IBM. IBM number two. People are like, what is this international black man thing? Back on a former network of ours, Tony, JT the Brick did the kind of the nighttime show or the overnight show. He's moved all around.
Yeah, he was late night that time.
At that time, right? And he had a caller who called himself the international black man. And our IBM dubbed himself international black man number two at the time. So sometimes we would just refer to him as IBM or the international black man. Or sometimes we get the official designation of number two in there as well. But either way, comes from obviously a family of veterans. So thank you and all of yours out there, IBM, and everybody else listening in. Let's check in with our good buddy, Dr. Stephen Lucy now, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers for your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Hi, Doc. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day out there for the parade. The traffic was a little tricky getting here, but I'm glad to be here.
We'll put up with it for the vets, man, right? I mean, that's what you do, and we appreciate what they've done, and they should be honored as they are. And looking at your particular area of expertise, a lot of people concerned about Allen Hurns and just how significant his injury is. I guess hurt himself on the final play of the game, at least offensive snap for the Jags against the Jets. And you're telling me it's a 4-foot sprain. We always hear about midfoot sprains, right, which can be pretty devastating. What's the obviously the area of the foot, but in terms of significance, the typical 4-foot sprain compared to a midfoot sprain, and what kind of prognosis are we looking at?
Well, I think his is a midfoot sprain.
Oh, is it a
you
midfoot?
Know, it is a midfoot sprain, and for those of us, that's kind of over the top of the arch, and there's a bunch of little bones in there all connected by ligaments. The dreaded one of all is the Lisfranc, which is sort of the keystone at the base of the great toe and the second toe. It's my understanding he does not have that, but does have another sprain there. And these can be tricky. You know, some of them end up being not that big a deal. You're in a boot for a few days. It starts feeling better. You try it out. But, you know, a wide receiver, running back have got to be able to plan and cut on that. So I think it's going to be a day-to-day. I wouldn't look for him early in the week in practice. I don't think he's been ruled out to play, but, you know, it's one of those things that could be a week or two, and if it doesn't respond as well as we'd like.
All right, so certainly something to keep an eye on, and not a foregone conclusion that they'll have Allen Hurns available to them against Baltimore.
Yeah, I think at this point that's a pretty safe assumption that it's going to be a day-to-day and see how he responds. And as we've seen, sometimes these guys get well a lot quicker than you'd normally expect or normally than me and you would get well.
Well, based on his track record as well, you would think if there's any way possible to play through it, Allen Hurns is the kind of guy that's shown you he will play dinged up and typically play very well doing that. So hopefully a speedy recovery for him. Meanwhile, you've got Andrew Luck, who's been dealing with a variety of injuries, shoulder, ribs, depending on who you listen to. Now a lacerated kidney? Is it a kidney or a spleen?
Kidney.
Lacerated kidney is what it is. I think I mentioned spleen earlier, mistakenly. But regardless, doctor saying 2 to 6 weeks, but you're hearing that most people don't think it'll be anything shorter than at least a month until he gets back. We don't know the severity of it. At least I don't. What can you tell us about this kind of injury and what is a reasonable timetable?
When I first started being a team doctor in the NFL, we were sitting around the lobby and we were talking to Don Capers, who was our defensive coordinator at the time. And Don says, you know, Doc, the one thing you're going to be impressed with is the viciousness of the hits on these quarterbacks. And I think, you know, you don't think about lacerated kidneys. That's the old boxing kidney punch, that after the match, there's blood in the urine. Back in the day when the old boxing kidney punch, we didn't have MRI. So probably this is something that was first noted with some blood in his urine. Now with MRIs and CTs and on all the fancy imaging studies we have, you know, they may have actually seen a laceration in the kidney. They may have found a collection of blood around the kidney. You know, if it's just blood in the urine, which is obviously comes from cracking something that bleeds into the canals that drain the urine, you know, that could be on the short end. You know, that could be on the 2 week end. However, if he has a more serious injury where he's got a collection of blood, that's got to resolve. And then that's why we're getting that 2 to 6 week, range, is it sort of depends on how quickly and how serious, you know, this resolves. And obviously, you know, getting that kind of information out of an opposing team is never easy, but,
sure.
But I think from what I understand with the injury, you know, someplace between 2 to 6 weeks is about right. And in a month that you mentioned, you know, sounds about in the middle. So
if you, is it just the signs of blood once that clears up that that's what you're looking for? Are there certain tests that you run to determine whether there's something else still at work?
Yeah, I mean, there's a variety of things. Probably abdominal CT scans give a very good view of the kidney and the surrounding tissues. That's kind of what the general surgeons and urologists look at with these things, and I'm sure he's going to have all that and maybe multiple series of those. If we talked about, we've got all this stuff, it sometimes shows us more information than we need or want, but it shows us the information we have to respond to. So, You know, and he finally had a good game. They beat Denver, and then, you know, he's hurt again. So.
Yeah, that, no one's shedding a tear for that. Nobody wants a guy to have a kidney issue, but if he wants to sit down for a while, that's fine, I think, with most people in the 904 area code.
I think that's true.
Let's just hope for the best for a quick recovery for Allen Hurns and let the Colts worry about their own. Dr. Stephen Lucy of the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Doc, always good to see you.
Good to be here.
All right. Thank you, buddy. There he goes. Dr. Stephen Lucy with JOI, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. And there he goes. All right. Every Wednesday, get a look at what's going on around the National Football League with injuries that are significant to your franchise. Tony, today we asked folks to kind of go off the board a little bit today, more with the theme of Veterans Day, and to if they wanted some recognition for some of the veterans that have been important in their lives, to pass those messages along. What do we get?
From John, we got every sailor that I deployed with, their hard work, dedication, and commitment kept me safe and my crew safe. Hashtag Fly Navy. From Daniel, my college roommate Jesse Jones of the United States Marine Corps, he taught me what hard work and dedication is. Also in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, we got, I went to high school with Dan Carpenter in Odessa, Texas. He was a male cheerleader in high school. People would make fun of him. After he graduated, he joined the Marines, died in combat. He joined the Marines in 2011 because of 9/11, and he wanted to make a difference. Well, he did make a difference. I will never forget him. Love you, Dan.
Also got a few more here. One from Daniel Stewart. My college roommate, Jesse Jones of the United States Marine Corps, he taught me what hard work and dedication is, and he hashtagged it Jaguars today. We would hashtag that, thank you, Daniel. John Love said his great uncle served in both World War II and his uncle served in Vietnam, and he obviously supports everything that's going on today. Looking over on the Facebook page, had a couple weighing in as well. Kevin Carter said all the gentlemen and women that I had the pleasure of serving with during my time in the military, and Steve Muncy said his uncle Roy, Todd and Harry, uncles, I guess, Roy, Todd, and Harry, for their service in World War II and Vietnam. For me, I told you, you know, growing up, my dad was an immigrant. He was born in Ireland. He didn't become a citizen immediately when he came to this country. It was one of the, maybe the proudest moment of his life outside of, you know, the birth of his children kind of thing, when he did become a United States citizen. So he never served in the military when I was a kid growing up. Didn't become a citizen until I was probably about 10 years old. And my uncle was the closest relative at the time, but it was in the past prior to me being born. But, you know, I met my wife Heather at college in the late 80s or early 90s, and I mean, at that time, Tony, I was about as long-haired a hippie as I've ever been in my life. And this was during the first Gulf War. The first time I met her parents, I went to stay with them up in Charleston, South Carolina on the Navy base. And her dad and mom could not have been more welcoming to me and respectful of me, even though I looked like anything but the poster child for someone who was, brought up to respect the military. Didn't disrespect the military, don't get me wrong. I just didn't look like the kind of person you would see running around saluting somebody. I got to say, Mike Nash, who is maybe to me the most, I don't know how to put it, the most respectable, decent man I've ever known, quite frankly, in my life. I wish I could say that it was my own father, but that's how much I think of my wife's dad. And he was a 30-year Navy vet. He went to the academy, retired as a captain, phenomenal guy. His son is a phenomenal guy, Tim, who was in the military and I think is still in the reserves, and now he's a commercial airline pilot. They're both pilots in the Navy, and I couldn't speak more highly of them. If they are the representation of what the military makes you as a human being, I got nothing but good things to say about that.
Yeah, I got a bunch of family that has served. My grandfather on my mom's side, who's actually the first-generation son of immigrants who came over here from Italy, he served in Europe during World War II. He actually lost a brother in combat during World War II. My grandfather on my dad's side, who's my only surviving grandparent at this point, served in the Pacific War, specifically Okinawa, and was on the ground in China as well there during World War II. He's towards the end of it now. He's actually really unhealthy, like many strokes, that kind of thing happening every day. But want to salute him and his service. Malvern Ray Smith, my grandfather, my uncle, served in Vietnam and served proudly in Vietnam. My cousin Angelo as well served two tours of duty in Afghanistan. After 9/11, he volunteered. And luckily, all four of those, at least members of my family, came home. So on this Veterans Day, I remember them.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of you out there, we know there's a huge military presence in this town. Respect what you guys do. And, you know, as flippant as we can be, certainly not on this subject matter. And mean it very sincerely. We have a very insignificant job in the big picture of things. And we recognize that. And we love the fact that we can have such a frivolous job, because that means that, you know, there's a basic level of security where you're not worrying about getting up and wondering if you're going to survive the day, day to day, like there some areas of the world can be. God bless America, man. I think it's not perfect. It's still the best alternative out there. Show me a better one. I'm not interested, quite frankly. I'm pretty happy with what the one we've got here. So thank you to all the vets out there and for all you've done. That'll do it for us today here on Jaguars Today. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our longtime Wednesday sponsor of the program. We appreciate Dr. Stephen Lucy stopping by, as well as John Osier from Jaguars.com. For Tyler Devitt, Tyler O, as we like to say sometimes. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name time to time. But for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll be back out of the end tomorrow. Ryan O'Halloran will join us, hopefully David Garrard on Friday, as well as we close out the week as the Jags get ready to kick off the second half of the season. XL Primetime coming up next. Joe C. Hacker and T-Wig on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! That's great job!